Hey, what's going on, my friend? This is Alex Pardo, and thank you for listening to the Flip Empire Show, episode 144.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up? What's up? I got another great masterclass for you here with Justin Wilmot, and he is back for the second time, as you guys are going to quickly hear. If you haven't, if you didn't hear Justin the first time around, I had him on about a year ago. It was a great show. I wanted to bring him back on because he always packs the content. And this time we're kind of going to take a little bit of a different route, and we're going to focus on how he's closing deals from his mobile phone. And we talk about a concept he came up with called mobile wholesaling. You know, he shares a story how he was in Costa Rica and he got some deals closed right from his mobile phone using certain apps, which we talk about in this particular episode. And Justin just, you know, this business has been a lifestyle business for him. And if you don't know Justin Wilmot, you know, years ago as a kid, he always knew that he had a big passion for surfing. And so, you know, he got into this business because he wanted to spend more time with his family, and he knew that this business could provide him with that freedom to do the things that he loves doing, like surfing, like spending time with his family. And so I always look up to people that know exactly what they want, and they go make it happen. And this business has been a vehicle for him to live the kind of lifestyle that he wants. And so, you know, the first time I had him on, we talked a lot about cash buyers and that side of the business. I wanted to have him back on. And something really cool that I wasn't expecting him to share is Justin shares a story, and I'm not gonna bury the lead for you here, but you know, he drove down to Miami to meet with Grant Cardone and spent several hours with him, and he shares a couple things that really just made a big impact on his life, and something that you know, I think is gonna have a big impact on your life if you just if you just internalize it, right? And hopefully the message resonates with you. So if you could tell, I'm still kind of getting over a cold. That's why I sound a little congested here. But really think you guys are gonna like this show. I would love for you to share the show on social media and Facebook, you know, Instagram. Tag me in the Flip Empire Facebook group. Let me know what you think. And guys, just one last thing, you know, if I launched the Inner Circle about a month ago and it's going awesome, we've had some members only Q&A webinars already. And if you think you might be the right fit, there's a few spots available. Send me an email, alex@flipempire.com, and I'll send you over a link to apply. Matter of fact, if you just go to flipempire.com/application, you can go ahead and apply to be a member of the Inner Circle program. This is very different from your typical traditional coaching programs. Matter of fact, it's more of a small group consulting program. And so I think this is something that, you know, depending on where you're at in your business, this could make a lot of sense for you. And it doesn't have the typical high priced, high price that coaching programs have. This is very different. I'm looking for a very specific person to be a part of the group. We have a small group of just, you know, high level thinkers, wholesalers, and entrepreneurs that are a part of the group. And I'm looking for the right mix of people. And so if you're interested in that, go to flipempire.com/application. And without further ado, I think you're really going to love this episode with Justin Wilmot. Let's do it. Justin, what's up, my dude? Welcome to round two here on the show.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me, dude. I'm stoked.
Yeah, man. I can't believe we were just talking offline here, and it's amazing how quickly time flies. Guys, before we get rocking and rolling here, if you haven't already heard the first time we had Justin on the show, it was a little over a year ago, but the content is still super relevant today. Go to flipempire.com/episode18. And, you know, we talked about so many different things. I actually just finished re-listening to that particular show. We talk about the difference between cold wholesaling and JV wholesaling. Justin shared some awesome tips about building your cash buyers list. We talked about, you know, the makeup of his team, how he compensates them, where he finds them. So definitely check out that show, flipempire.com/episode18. And on today's show, we're kind of going to shift gears and we're going to focus a bit more on the acquisition side and talk about a concept that, Justin came up with called mobile wholesaling, which is all about doing deals from your phone and from your tablet. And I think what's really awesome about Justin is that he walks the walk. Like, the guy is, you know, this business is a lifestyle business for him. And, you know, if you listen to that first show, and you heard the intro, Justin's passion is surfing, you know, ever since he was a kid. And this business allows him to not only do that, but just spend time with his family. And I think that's what we're all after. You know, it's the freedom that this business can do for you. So, Justin, dude, it's awesome to have you back on for round two, man.
Dude, thanks again, man, for having me. It's always, I enjoy hanging out with you, man. You're a good people, man. Thank you, man.
And again, dude, my apologies because you sent me a boxer earlier and you're like, man, the surf is awesome today. And we had this thing scheduled. So appreciate you taking the time, man.
Of course, man. Of course. I'm not that bad. I am a surfer, but I'm also a businessman at the same time. So
I love it. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, man. I mean, I kind of touched on it. Hopefully I didn't, you know, take too much of your thunder, but in a nutshell, man, what is mobile wholesaling and like how'd you come up with that phrase? Because it's pretty catchy and we're definitely gonna get into like the nuts and bolts. But for people that just might not know what that is, what's mobile wholesaling in a nutshell?
Oh, dude, it's cool, man. It's a cool quick. I'll do the story as quick as possible. So like, I like to go to Central America. Costa Rica is one of my favorite places to go, not only just for the surf, but just because of the culture. The people are super friendly and I've been going there since I was 15 years old. You know, when your parents got to write you like a permission slip to leave the country without them.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, that's where it all started. And I kind of got the Costa Rican bug. And so, there was a trip that we took recently, or not recently now, it was the trip that one particular trip that inspired it. I had just had my second son.
Okay.
And, you know, long story short, man, the Wi-Fi went out. My computer got wet, and the Wi-Fi was spotty. So we had some deals pending, and as always, you know, I'm always this guy sort of really focusing on wholesaling and doing it more virtually so I can have this lifestyle and not be stuck. But this mobile wholesaling was inspired because I was forced to use my mobile phone in order to facilitate and finish a handful of deals while I was in Costa Rica for about a month and a half.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I was like forced into doing it. And I was like, wait a minute, what a damn good concept. You could literally go from front to back by just leveraging apps. And you know, so when it came to creating the system, I'm always looking for, you know, what is the most simple way to do something? I remember, like, you know, when I was just getting started, everything, there was just so much information. So I was just getting so confused.
Yeah.
And I was just looking for like simple. So whenever I'm now somebody creating something for other people, I'm always trying to think of like, what is the most simplistic way to do it? So, dude, I just kind of re-engineered what I was forced to do. And from start to finish, man, just use mobile apps and a mobile phone.
Man, that is so, and it's amazing technology, what it allows us to do and accomplish. And I'm really thinking about it now. You know, I'm just kind of like quickly running in my head, like there's no part of this business that cannot be done on your mobile phone. I mean, obviously it's a phone, so you can call people. And then with apps like, you know, Podio or whatever CRM you use probably has an app, or Voxer and JotNot Pro, which allows you to like send faxes and, you know, DocuSign, write signature, all these different tools. It's like, man, can you think of anything that you're not able to do on your phone?
No, honestly, there really isn't anything except notarizing, but there's an app for that too.
Incredible, man. Unbelievable. So yeah man, talk to us about some of those deals when you were in Costa Rica that, you know, your laptop got messed up. And by the way, I could feel your pain, man, because I haven't had a laptop get water damaged, but I've had my iPhone drop in like water and it sucks. So
yeah, it sucks.
Talk to us about, I mean, did you literally like, were you able to close out all those deals just from your phone? Like, what does that look like for somebody that hasn't done the phone?
Yeah, man. Good question. Well, of course, there's a little bit more behind the scenes. You know, yes, everything got closed out from my mobile phone and using the apps that were already downloaded and that I downloaded while I was there going to internet cafes. So it was all done from the phone. And that's what inspired, hey, we can continue to do this and scale it like this. And, you know, there was, but I had a acquisitions manager, or at the time an operational manager, who I assigned rights to the company in order to close on my behalf.
Okay.
So that's the missing element that people don't really talk about, is like, you can do the entire business from front to back, but there really needs to be a physical person that goes to the title attorney or the title company to close on your behalf. And they don't have to physically go to the company, but someone's got to sign. And like, I don't know if you've been to Central America or Costa Rica, but dude, trying to receive a fax or a scan is like an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes, it wasn't even, and also you also don't want to depend on that, you know, for like, if it's closing on closing's at Tuesday at 2 PM, dude, the last thing you want to do is like, say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't close, 'cause I'm still waiting for this fax to come in at this cafe, you know?
Yeah, and, exactly. Man, one of the things that we've done is I've been out of the country and we've closed some deals. Matter of fact, I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Europe on a European cruise for a couple of weeks. And then we spent another week traveling around Europe and we were closing, I think, a couple deals during that 3 week time. And at that time I was in between transaction coordinators. So I didn't have somebody on my team locally. I remember I have a really good relationship with my attorney, and you can also just, I mean, again, check with your attorney depending on your area, but I was able to sign a limited power of attorney and he was able to sign on my behalf for those deals that we closed. So where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, you can always get creative in how you do these things. And I think I mentioned it. One of the apps I use to send faxes and receive faxes is JotNot Pro. It might cost like a couple dollars, but you know, like we were talking, man, there's literally no app that pretty much any app that you get, there's so many different apps you can use to get deals closed with the way technology is. I mean, again, I can't think of any part of the business where you're not able to close virtually, you know, over your phone.
Totally. You know, and certain, I guess it depends, like with what you do. That was really smart with the limited power of attorney for your attorney. But like in most, you know, someone needs to have the finals, right? The final closing doc. So the settlement and the HUD on a cash transaction, for me anyway, here in Florida, has to be an original. So like they got to be overnighted. So yeah. So that's why I have to have a physical entity do it. And so for you, the power of attorney, that was clever, man. I was smart. I used articles of resolution, which just gives power over to my operational manager. Now, just in case anybody listens, like, oh, I don't have an operations manager. Right. It could be like, it could be anybody. It could be like your mom, uncle, Bob, brother, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you have an LLC, you can assign, you can make them the, in essence, that's like you're making them CEO for a limited time.
Yep. So man, can you share some of those apps that you find yourself using on a pretty consistent basis when it comes to your real estate wholesaling business?
Well, here's a super simple one that people either overlook or seem to discount, which is just, it's crazy. But everyone, of course, knows of Zillow.
Yep.
But Zillow has what's called Zillow Rentals app. And so it's just the rentals. And so we use that to continually look for landlord cash investors.
Okay.
It's really that easy, man. So whatever our zip code is, you put in the zip, it'll aggregate, you know, it pulls up all those little purple dots.
Right.
And then you can export the list. And then I just have somebody make all those outbound calls for me, you know? So I don't make the calls in order to build a relationship with those buyers. Just have someone else do it.
Yeah. So what, I mean, I remember the when we first had you on about a little bit over a year ago, you were telling us about your team. Has anything like dramatically changed in the last year? Like what does the business look like today, aside from the fact that, you know, you're using the mobile to close more deals, but.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've reduced, I reduced the amount of people that I have on staff in hand. So, you know, I removed two people that were responsible for really a lot of that side.
Okay.
And mainly because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, man. So I do a lot of things. And, you know, I got really just recently started doing a lot more luxury high-end developments and just sort of business model sort of adapts and changes, you know. So it's kind of it was an unnecessary thing. At that point.
Yeah. No, I get it, man. And we have a bit in common because anybody that follows the show knows that about 6-7 months ago, I actually, you know, we reduced our team from 7 to 5. So yeah, same thing, man. I reduced two people and, you know, bigger isn't necessarily always better. Like sometimes, you know, you're more efficient keeping a lean machine. And you don't necessarily need to have a big staff in order to close a lot of deals and make a lot of money in this business. Now, sometimes it is necessary. It really just depends on, like you were saying, your business model and Just being crystal clear on what you want your business to look like, how you want it to operate. So, man, I'd love to kind of, it's very intriguing. You said you started getting into some of like the more luxury developments. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, but it's not, but like I said, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so it's not like my thing. Like I'm not a luxury redeveloper guru, you know, like I've done a lot of them, and we just completed an epic one right on the beach. And actually in my own hometown, Flagler Beach. And that kind of came about because, one, I've always been intrigued, sort of like a kind of a dream of mine. I've always had attachment to it. I live in a beautiful place, so you kind of mix all that together.
Yeah.
It's part of like my culture, kind of like who I am. I like to stay in my environment. You know, like my idea of life and like how I want it to look and be tends to dictate the way I do business, right? It's what inspired 10 Hour Wholesaler. It's what inspired mobile wholesaling. And then when it came to luxury developments, I'm like, I just want to get some big paydays instead of like doing a bunch of smaller ones. And so hence reduced the staff and just went for the big stuff, man. And, you know, we're talking six figure, you know, profits on those deals.
Nice, man. So how are you going about, and I think this is something that can be helpful for people regardless of, you know, whether they're going after the luxury market or they're going after, you know, $50,000-$100,000 houses. How are you going about, you know, getting in contact with these sellers?
Yeah, so the luxury ones for me are pretty not simple, but because I've been in my market for 8 years, or almost actually 10 now, damn. so 10 years, I have like a rapport, credibility. People know me. So what I've done, what we've done is we built a relationship with all the agents in town, and we let them know. We actually remind them through email on an autoresponder, and we use GetResponse.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. So remind them, hey.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're just reminding them, hey, we're here, you know. And so what happens is they bring us pocket listings. So we know, we tell them specifically what we want to buy. And so we change the criteria. And then, the one that I just did actually came from, you know, my new office that I have. I took over this building right on the beach, right on A1A. Another one. I had a previous one last time I talked to you. And now I got another one that's on the corner here. And the seller of the building, she's an agent, and she brought me the last one that I was just referring to.
Okay. Got it. So you're getting a lot of your deals nowadays from just relationships that you have with agents?
Yes. Yeah. Relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the wholesaling side.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. When it comes to the wholesaling side, everything's kind of still the same. Like, so if you go back to our conversations before, it's the same stuff, using these apps and sending out direct mail.
Yeah. Very cool, man. And that's the thing. I kind of wanted to piggyback on something you mentioned. You know, when it comes to agents, in order to get deals from agents, you really have to add value. You have to like perform, be a closer. And it's all about really cultivating and building that relationship. I think, you know, some of the areas where, you know, I think investors kind of go south when it comes to agents is they right off the bat, without having a relationship, they're just asking for them to send you pocket listings and deals.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part, man, it doesn't really fly. These agents, they already have their list of like go-to cash buyers that they've worked with and that they've built a relationship. And so you really have to invest time, like anything else, into building relationships with these agents. And when they send you something, make sure that you educate them on why it's a deal and why it works for you or why it doesn't, because otherwise you don't want them just sending you any listing that they get, right? And then once they do send you something that works, just make sure you close and perform. And then that kind of just opens the door, and it's a bit of a snowball effect. At least that's been my experience.
I couldn't agree more. It really is. It's worth it. So it's not like, you know, people, we're all guilty of it, right? We all look for like that quick push button. And so it's not sexy to hear that it takes time with the relationships with agents. It's worth it. But that's also not to say that, damn, you don't, you know, go and shake hands with 20 agents and all of a sudden the next day, one of those 20 calls you back with a pocket listing. I mean, that is possible. As a matter of fact, one of my coaching students just did that, and he has 3 deals under contract from doing that. Cause I told him that, and that wasn't our intention, right? You know, he's like, oh my God, this is so easy. I'm like, I'm glad you're happy, but it doesn't always happen like that.
Yeah, it's funny, man. Sometimes like things happen like pretty smoothly and you kind of get spoiled. Then, you know, there's curveballs in this business, man. There's going to be some ups and some downs, but you just got to stay consistent and keep pushing through.
For sure. Yeah,
man. So would you say the direct mail and the agents, that those are your two primary marketing channels now?
Yeah. Yes.
You know what? Something you might want to check out, Justin, that we've been doing more more in the last 5-6 months really is cold calling, man, is that we have, you know, we have one of our acquisitions reps that just dedicates a couple hours a day to cold calling our direct mail list. You know, we get phone numbers for that list, and we've been picking up some deals that way. Just, it's like anything else. It just requires, you know, time and effort to get on the phone, and you know, you're looking for the few of the many, right? But it's been an effective way for us to get deals, at least here in our market.
Yeah, awesome, man. And I forget, you're in...
I'm in Miami. Yeah.
You're in Miami. That's right. Killer. You know what's crazy that you say that? That's what we do to build our buyers list. Like when we use those apps and then we export that list and data scrape them to, for more accurate phone numbers. And then I have them make the outbound calls for the buyers. But then I never thought about doing that for sellers.
Yeah. And, I'm telling you, man, it's awesome. And you pretty much got that system nailed, because, you know, the same thing you do for buyers, you can pretty much do for sellers. And it's just, so it definitely works, man. And I think a lot of people haven't really like just kind of thought of that they can do it in the reverse, and it works really well, man. So definitely something you should check out. Brother, I know you kind of touched on it. You coach people as well. What are you finding is working for a lot of your students? And then, you know, on the flip side, what do you kind of find is often tripping people up here? And then more importantly, how can we avoid that?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. Well, I mean, my if I'm going to be authentic, which I am, always am, what trips people up the most is themselves, you know, and people don't like to hear it. People always want to hear like, all right, tell me what to do. And I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to make $1 million. But the truth is, man, you got to figure your own stuff out. You know, you got to figure out your own crap. I got this quote, and I don't know if I made it up, man, but maybe I heard it one day. It stuck with me, and I think I did. But I say, you know, I tell everybody all the time, and especially in interviews, and, you know, the most profitable piece of real estate that you'll ever flip is the real estate between your ears.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. And it's because so first, like, people got to just figure out. And what I mean by that, like, to get like down and dirty is like just audit yourself with one sheet of paper. It's like, man, I want people to just take 15 minutes. Like, you're talking about your whole life here, and you're talking about becoming a real estate investor or scaling your existing one. Isn't it worth 15, 20 minutes to take a sheet of paper?
I'm so
and then like
you.
On one side, write down your strengths, and on the other side, write down your weaknesses. And then when you, and be very honest with yourself, right? And say, hey, I'm good at it. Like, here's what I mean by being good at it. Well, I think a lot of us can say, hey, we're good at talking to people, like you and I, right? Like, we can build rapport and we can talk to people, right? Mm-hmm. But so if we write that down in on our strengths column, is it something that we're good at it, but do we enjoy it?
Yeah.
So like, is it possible that you and I would procrastinate doing that thing? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the question I always encourage people to ask. Find out things that you additionally don't like so that you don't procrastinate, because the real world doesn't care what you like and don't like.
Yeah.
It's just, these are things that just have to get done. Buyers need to be called. Sellers, like you just said, need to be called, which is, I wrote that down. I'm sending it to my acquisitions right now. But, you know, sellers need to be called. These things need to be done. So, like, I feel like the most important thing is all of us getting serious and honest with ourselves and getting out of our own way. No matter where we are in business, if we're trying to get our first deal done, or we're trying to change our business, or we're trying to scale our business, it's all to me.
No, absolutely, man. And to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, I really think if people just knew what their unique ability was and focused on that, and kind of outsourced the rest of it, or delegated it, or even just like completely deleted it, they'd be so much happier, right? Because I think I talk to people that they're doing the same thing, kind of expecting different results. And when I ask them what they're doing, it doesn't really give them any fulfillment. They don't enjoy it. They're doing it because they feel like it needs to be done, but they don't realize that somebody else can do that while they can focus on what they truly do enjoy doing. And look, I'm guilty. I've been there before. I don't have it perfect, but I think it's top of mind awareness. If you're just more self-aware, and you know, and you ask yourself, if you find yourself doing a certain task on a daily or weekly basis, or, you know, ask yourself, am I happy doing this? Does this fulfill me? Is this my unique ability? And I think if you ask yourself those types of questions and you're just conscious of it, then you're progressing and you're moving in the right direction. You know, and then obviously you got to take action, right? So if you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, it isn't a good use of your time, or maybe you just don't like it, but it has to get done, is, you know, take time to like find someone to do it, or create a system and automate it. And I think, I don't know, people just kind of get tripped up by that stuff. They don't either take the time or they're just not aware and they just keep doing it, you know?
Right. Yeah, dude, you hit the nail on the head, man, you know? And then I think we could add to that repetition, because I know that sounds like it almost contradicts it, but repetition in regards to if you're new, I feel like repetition creates clarity. You know what I mean?
I like that.
So like that's another thing that I've learned in helping people is that we want to get to the money so quickly that we'll hear terms or we'll hear a simple set of instructions, like such as go to Fiverr.com, buy a list of buyers and then export that to get, you know, to somebody else for better phone numbers and call people. Well, like, why could like 100 people hear that and then get completely different results, you know? Yeah. And it could even be in the same dang market, you know, same people and get two completely different results. And it's like, because they didn't understand those instructions.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what about those instructions don't you understand? And don't stay quiet about it. Don't pretend. Oh yeah. And so that's kind of a small example, but mm-hmm. you know, in life, I feel like we will just sort of wing it and,
yeah. Yeah.
And not be clear on things, you know, not be clear and understand, you know, what am I really doing?
Right. That's right. And why am I doing it? Like, you know, yeah, totally, man. And you know, man, I think to add to that as well, I think there's a certain part of it, not to get too like woo or like the movie Secret or anything, but you know, sometimes people do that others tell them, hey, this has worked for me, and they do it, but they either do it half-assed or they just don't believe that they're going to get the same results. And so they go into it with this like kind of one foot in, one foot out, like I'm going to do it because I think it works, but I don't really think it's going to work for me because of some BS excuse I'm making up or my market. And then it's really not going to work, right? So I think if people just had that unwavering faith that, hey, I'm going to do it and this is going to work for me and I'm going to make it happen, I think people would just like, they'd be happier with the results they get if they like had that paradigm shift in their mind versus like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but I'm kind of not fully doing it. You know, I'm just going to go through the motions, but I don't really think it's going to work. And so I don't know, man, at least that's my belief, you know?
Oh no, dude, you're so right. Like, and it's funny, right? Like if you get 10 of us that have like gone from aspiring investors to being full on blown out investors and then like moving also into helping people. So you're doing a podcast and I create educational content and stuff. Like if you talk to any of us, you get 10 of us, we have a similar, we all have like identical stories, don't we?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's so like, true.
That's we all I mean. See the world the same, you know? And so, and it's from just going out there and taking massive actions, you know? And at the end of the day, dude, like you hear it, but what does that mean to you? And I think this is important. This is another thing that I learned in helping people is expectations. Mm. So like when people hear you and I say, go out, you know, you hear some instructions and go out and take action and do it. What I've found, man, is when they start dabbling in it, like sticking their toe in it, or even going full bore, what are your expectations?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they'll hear you say, go call 100 buyers. And they're thinking, okay, boom, I'm going to definitely have a buyer and flip a deal by Sunday now. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's putting it out there, man, speaking it into existence and then backing it up with like massive action. So, well, man, you talked about some things that you've learned from people that you're coaching. Anything that comes to mind as far as things that in the last year, since we've last spoken, at least on the podcast, I know you and I have stayed in contact, but is there anything that's been that you wouldn't mind sharing that you've maybe picked up from a mentor or from, you know, somebody in your inner circle that, you know, that has coached you or that you look up to?
Man, that's a great question, dude.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm trying to drag out like some, because man, it's funny, but selfishly, like I do this podcast for the industry and for like people that follow the show. I really wanted, like, I genuinely want to deliver value, but selfishly, I also always like inevitably I pick up a few things from every person I talk to on the show. And you're no different, man. So like, I'm always curious to kind of tap into people's mind and like their coaches, right? Because you don't know what you don't know, man. If you just hear one thing and it sparks something, an idea, or it reminds you of something, I mean, it could literally shape your life. I really believe that.
Dude, it's a timely question. It's interesting, man. So recently, you know, I have a handful of coaches in the inner circle and some great guys, and I don't want to discount any of them, but I'll just say, you know, the first person that came to mind that's really changed my life from one sentence, and I'm sure everybody's heard of him, Grant Cardone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uncle G.
Yeah, Uncle G, man. So I flew down, I drove down. I'm only 4 hours away. So I drove down to see him and got to spend some time with him, I don't know, a month ago or a couple months ago. And, you know, what was supposed to be like a 1 hour conversation turned into like hours. Wow. And talking business. And it was like really like a really transformational time just because I respect. But one of the things I learned from him among many, is look, there are technical mechanics, right? Like, hey, how do I get a buyer? Like, or what kind of buyer do you need? And then we can say, you and I could say, as educators, we can say, we'll do this and this, and that's how you'll build a relationship with a buyer.
Right.
But what I think what's happening, because I was so guilty of this, man, was I would look at that person that was always, you know, up a step ahead of me or above ahead of me and be like, all right, what are they doing? What are they doing? And that question, what are they doing? Like, mm-hmm. trying to be who they are and try to like move around like them, only pulls you back. Meaning what he says is nobody knows best. You know what's best. Mm. So if you need mechanics, go out and find people in mechanics. Meaning, hey, I need to learn how to brand myself. Well, go find the number one branding guy and don't listen to anything else besides the mechanics of like, all right, go to YouTube, upload a video and do this, right? Or
right.
I need to learn how to build a buyer's list. Okay, go find a guy that's great at building buyer's list. But people, like, dude, at the end of the day, we all need to trust in ourselves more than we do.
Yeah.
And that all ties to what I said earlier, those expectations, you know?
Right. And do you think there's an element of that? And I don't know if this is something that you spoke about with Grant, is that, you know, we look up to, like, you know, a guy like Grant Cardone, you know, we look up to the guy. And so do you find that a lot of people are just not being true and authentic to themselves, and they're trying to be the next Grant Cardone versus being the next, you know, Joe Smith or whatever or whoever?
100,000,000%.
Yeah, right. And let me tell you, man, I've gotten better throughout the years, but I can think back 5-6 years. And I remember when I read the 4-Hour Work Week, I thought Tim Ferriss was like the coolest dude in like he was just awesome, right? And so I remember like shortly after reading that, I like hired a VA and I kind of caught myself trying to be like Tim Ferriss. And I'm like, I've learned a lot from him, but I don't need to be the next Tim Ferriss. I need to be Alex Pardo. You know what I mean? And so,
exactly,
and I think that happens to a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, bro. You can take the key to all of this is to take like one thing that makes sense to you from Tim and one thing that makes sense over here and make it Alex Pardo.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like the moment we try to do and be and operate as somebody else is the moment that we don't understand why life is so difficult.
Right.
Like, you know, and that can come into the conversation of expectation too.
You know, and it's funny that we're talking about this because recently I saw some dude on a YouTube video and he didn't reference or mention Gary Vaynerchuk, but man, I'm telling you, the guy was like trying to be the next Gary Vaynerchuk, just like his mannerisms, the way he was communicating. And because I know Gary V, like, you know, and I follow him, I'm like, this guy's trying to be the next Gary V. And it came across like, I'm sure the guy had the right intentions, but it just came across super like just the guy. I don't know the guy, but you could just tell that wasn't him. He was like putting on a persona that wasn't him. And it just comes across like kind of fake. And so, yeah, just be yourself, be you. That's what the world needs more of. The world needs more of you. Like, you're the only one that can be you. You have a unique personality. You have, you know, your unique thoughts, your unique ability. And so, I love that you said that, man, because I think it's something we've all probably been guilty of in the past.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
that's that question. So that was life changing for me, man. And then, and then coming from somebody that you respect so much, that really hits you hard. You know, like, you know, they look you in the eye, like, dude, stop watching me.
Yeah, right. And go out and like and do right, like make it happen.
Go do it, man. Like, yeah, like
that might be the title of this podcast. Go do.
Go do. Please make that the title of this.
You know what? I will, man. I will. I'm actually gonna go do So yeah. Well, man, I don't know how we can end off on a better note, but I did want to mention, guys, Justin has a cool product. It's super cheap. I don't know why it's so cheap, but I got an affiliate link set up if you guys want to check it out. It's all about mobile wholesaling. And yep. So, Justin, maybe you could take a minute to talk about it. But if you guys want to go, Justin's got a short video about it. And it's, like I said, it's a super cheap product. You invest in it, you're going to pick up at least one or two things that can help you in your business, if not more. Go to flipempire.com/mobile. So the word mobile, MOBILE. But Justin, man, can you take a quick minute and just like tell people what to expect in that program?
Yeah. So you'll... Look, it's just everything that I learned on that trip, spending a month and a half in Costa Rica, where I was forced to learn how to flip properties completely remotely, and then realize that, wait a minute, this is an entire business model. So we can get leads and we can close deals. And so everything that you need in order to do the same thing is in there. At the end of the day, man, use the information, right? Go in there. Use the information and tie it into what we just said. Don't try to like duplicate it. So like, don't think that you need to move to Europe or you need to backpack to Europe for a month or you need to go to Costa Rica or Central America in order to use it. You can use it right now where you are. The whole point is it shows you how to build a business that's dependable with people in place, with things getting done, more importantly, to get out of your own way. So yeah, it forces you to outsource a lot of things, which, by the way, is very, very cheap. I mean, we're talking $3 to $4 an hour people that you can use on Upwork or Fiverr. And also in that in that mobile wholesaling product, we give you the people that we recommend. Now, full disclosure, they may or may not be available to work on your stuff right now, but at least you have a reference, right?
Yep. Yep.
So give you the people, man. So it's a wholesaling business, man. How to find the deals, how to negotiate, and how to sell them. So what I did is I picked one of the deals that went like just super ultra smooth, and I documented it from front to back, Alex, with freaking screen shares. So it's not like PowerPoint. You're like okay, here's what you do, and blah blah blah. It's like, yo, let me just show you this. So like I just showed you like even the conversations between my freaking operations manager and my title attorney, which by the way, yes, I got permission to show. So,
oh man. Yeah. Very, very cool, man. Well, hey, dude, keep being an example for people. Keep doing your thing. Cause there's a lot of people that walk the walk, or that talk to talk, but you're walking it, man. So I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hopping on for round two. I think you might only be like the third or fourth person that's been on for a second round. So
honored.
Yeah, honored, well, the first show was super well received, and it was like towards the beginning. So I appreciate you supporting, the beginning of the show. And yeah, man, we're about 140 something episodes in here, man. So it's great to have you back on, dude. Thank you.
Dude, awesome. Thanks for having me, man. It's always awesome.
Very cool, guys. Well, hey, listen, I look forward to, if you're new to joining the show, hopefully you got a lot of value out of this. I mean, I appreciate everything Justin shared. And, the one thing, there's two things I want you to take away from the show that just come to mind. Number one, go do shit, right? Because no matter what you heard, if you don't like put it to action, it's just not going to work for you. Number two, just be authentic. Justin probably spent a lot of money, I'm guessing, to meet with Grant. And so he just shared something super valuable that he got from a very high level thinker, a high achiever, somebody that is at the top of their game in business. Why would you not take that advice? And it's sound advice. You don't need to hear that from Grant Cardone or anybody. It holds true. Be yourself. Be authentic and inspire others, hopefully, in the process. And I think if you go out and you maximize your potential, it has a ripple effect on not only your inner circle, but I really do believe it has an inner circle on people that you might not even know, just by being authentic, being yourself, and just using the gifts and talents that God has given you. So appreciate you listening in. Justin, thank you, buddy. I know we'll be in contact, and I look forward to catching you guys on the next show.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show, but we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67077. Or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.